Welcome back to DKP Does, Draft Quarters Podcast Network movie review show, where we don't make our soon-to-be ex-girlfriends shoot up battery acid. With me this evening is my co-host, Russell.
You are correct. That is even too far for me.
Yeah, and we also have Dave.
I don't like shooting up anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, he never shot up anything. He made his, got his girls hooked on it.
Yeah. And then they needed him because...
Yeah, and then he gave them battery acid and they die.
This movie's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. So we're concluding our month of DMX with Never Die Alone. It is rated R.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it is.
From 2004. It's an hour and 28 minutes. A tight 88. I guess. It's not very tight, honestly.
No.
So a movie is about, it's sort of about DMX's character, King David. And it's sort of about, spoilers, his son,
Michael.
Michael, played by Michael Ealy. And it's sort of about Paul, played by David Arquette. So, DMX is like a drug dealer that left town and left a big bill with his boss, and went to LA to try and make it on his own.
No, he went to LA.
He went to LA. You've never had heroin until you've had heroin in LA.
You've never overdosed girls until you've overdosed girls in
LA. Jesus. So he goes to LA to try and make it. And he ends up just like having a wake of destruction behind him, where he like gets an actress hooked on heroin, and then he like uses her to sell heroin. And then he gets, this like college girl hooked on heroin, and like dumps the actress for the college girl. But then the college girl was just using him because she's, you know, young and in her young and fun phase, where right. She's not looking for a relationship, especially with a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah. a very angry one.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, well, I guess I'll turn you into a strawberry. And... because she wasn't even, he was just like giving her coke at the time, like before she tells him that.
Yeah.
Because he like falls in love with her and he's like, you should move in with me. And she's like, no, we're just fucking having fun and you supply me with coke. So let's just continue to do that and we'll be fine. And he's like, no, we're going to put some heroin in your coke and you're going to need me.
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah. So fucked up.
He also, because he put it in like two things. So one of the things was her lip gloss too, right?
No, he put it in her vial. She had like a vial of coke,
and he put it in that. Uh-huh. And then he put it in another thing that was in her purse.
Oh, I didn't think he did. I thought he just put it in the vial.
Maybe he was just moving stuff around.
Yeah.
I thought he put it in two things though. Because I thought he put it in his lip gloss and I was like, oh, that's fucking sneaky.
I have no idea.
And shitty.
Yeah. I mean, it's sneaky and shitty either way.
Right.
Yeah.
But so he gets her hooked and then she's like, no, I need to go to rehab and you're going to pay for it because this is your fault. And if you don't pay for it, I'm going to go to the cops.
And he doesn't like that word.
He doesn't like that. So he does what he did before he left, which this lady that he messed around with and he had like gotten rid of sort of calls and asking him for money because the kids that she claims are his, need food and clothes for school and stuff.
Kid stuff.
Yeah.
Kids tend to like food and clothes.
And he's like, fuck you, bitch. They ain't mine.
I've got a son. How fucked up is that?
Yeah. Forget about his daughter. Right. So he goes over there and gives her battery acid and gets her to fucking kill herself, basically.
Yeah.
So later he gets the college girl to kill herself. And he goes back to New York to make amends. What a fucking piece of shit.
Yep.
And this whole time he's like recording it on these tapes. And I'm telling this out of order to the movie, but like sort of actually
it makes sense in the order. Yeah.
So he gets to New York and he calls his old boss and he's like, "Hey, I got your money. How much do I owe you?" And he's like, "Oh, like 15. And then, you know, the juice on that is, whatever." He's like, "How about I just give you 30? And he's like, "Okay." So he sends Michael, who is his son, who is King David's son.
Yeah. DMX's son.
Yeah. DMX doesn't know that it's his son, but Michael knows and his boss knows. And he's like, "Don't kill him. Just go get the money and leave." So he goes and his friend like talks shit to him and DMX talks shit back. And his friend is like, "I got an idea how we could kill this motherfucker." So Michael's like, "Okay, let's do it."
With his sister,
with his sister in the fucking car. And they fuck it up. They kill him, but he's not quite dead when they leave. And he sticks an ice pick in his friend's eye and they gotta get medical help for his friend.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people fucking see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of like a club that he's got ties with, that the main boss has ties with.
That they all have ties with.
Yeah.
The Blue Room.
Yeah, the Blue Room. So the lady that works at the Blue Room calls the boss and tells him what happened. He's like, "God damn it." And then Mike calls and he's like, "Hey, I need help because so-and-so's hurt." And he sends them to a garage where the boss, Moon sends some dudes to kill them. And it doesn't go right. Michael ends up killing all the guys, but not before he kills one of the guys kills his friend and the other guy kills his sister.
Yeah.
So his sister dies and his friend dies and he knows that Moon did it. So then Michael's going after Moon.
Revenge story.
When DMX gets stabbed outside the bar, David Arquette comes out.
Paul.
So David Arquette comes out and sees him get stabbed and he like helps him. And DMX is like, "Don't let me die alone."
Yeah.
"Don't let me die in the gutter."
Yeah.
So he goes, he takes him to the hospital, makes it to the hospital, but he doesn't make it. He dies. And he leaves all his stuff to David Arquette's character. And he's like, "Hey, find my son and tell him whatever. I went out like a warrior." Whatever. Fucking fuck off, bitch.
He is not a redeemable character in this
movie. He's a piece of shit.
No.
So David like finds these tapes that
Paul finds the tapes.
No, David finds DMX's tapes. Not King David. David Arquette.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, he's also... Well, no, never mind.
What?
I was going to say he's the king, but he's not the king. He helps the king.
Yeah, he helps
the king. So this is two movies. He helps the king. I was trying to make a Ready to Rumble reference.
Oh.
That would have been good if I would have got that.
One of three David Arquette movies.
There's like five.
Yeah, all the screams.
Yeah. Plus Ready to Rumble.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the last one. He died in five.
Spoilers, I haven't seen that one yet. I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I watched six and I was like, I only kind of know what's going on.
God damn it, Russell.
I wanted to go with you to watch six.
And I had to explain it all to you.
Yeah, I was like, about that. Just tell me about five before we were in the car. Yeah. And I was like, just tell me about five on the way.
Okay.
We should watch Ready to Rumble.
We should watch Scream.
Yeah. Then Ready to Rumble.
Anyway.
David Arquette month.
We should redo Scream.
Did we do Scream?
We did 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4, but we did them like separately.
Okay.
We never did 5 and we didn't do 6.
Okay. Anyway, so he's like listening to these tapes and it's explaining all this stuff. So the way the movie goes is it starts off with DMX in a coffin and him narrating about how he got there. And then it goes back to him getting back to New York. And then he explains what's happening and then he dies. And then David gets the tapes. David Arquette gets the tapes and he starts listening to them. And then does a bunch of flashbacks to everything else that I explained happened, from him leaving New York the first time, going to LA, doing everything that he did in LA, and then coming back to New York. So, Michael goes after Moon. He ends up like finding him in a sex bar. I don't know what the fuck that place is supposed to be.
Sex bar,
I guess.
It's probably Moon's brothel.
It's like, yeah, I guess.
I mean, if you're gonna be a criminal underlord, like, you gotta have a brothel.
Yeah.
With a hot tub.
Well, it was just, I guess it threw me off because he was like hanging out with those girls before. It wasn't like he went there and like hooked up with some girls.
Yeah, I think those are his girlfriends.
Yeah. But they weren't the girls that he was with the first time you see him.
Those are the other girlfriends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got multiple girlfriends.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's just like it threw me off that he went to a brothel that is his brothel, but he wasn't banging random girls at the brothel. He like brought his own girls with him just to enjoy the hot tub and the privacy of a place where people can just walk into where you're fucking. Anyway,
BYOG is what he did. Bring your own girls
and gangsters.
And gangsters.
Anyway, he gets shot in a hot tub.
Yeah, he does.
So Michael gets his revenge on him, but then he finds out that somebody's going after Paul, and he doesn't know who Paul is, but he knows that he has something to do with DMX. So he finds them and he saves him from getting killed by the remainder of Moon's guys that were going after him.
Like his hitmen.
Yeah, his hitmen.
Yeah.
And then Michael and Paul have a conversation about King David.
Yeah.
And
I was waiting for Michael to be like, he's the scar giver.
No.
That's a different movie.
So then they both like run away. And then Paul writes a story about what happened, and the guy from Die Hard 2 doesn't believe him or hire him for yeah, he's the airport guy from Die Hard 2.
That's yep.
He's the airport guy in Die Hard 2. Oh man, let's watch all the diehards.
Hell yeah, bro. Let's fucking go.
Well,
watch the first three at least.
Three of the diehards.
Just watch them all.
I mean, we've watched a lot of bad movies recently. I think we can make it through the Die Hard movies.
We could get through them.
Kevin Smith's in one of them.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah. Not because of Kevin Smith, but anyway. Yeah, so he gets like told that the story's not true. And if he wants a job, he can have it, but they're not going to publish that story. So he leaves, and then he pays these guys to give King David a proper burial. And they're like, yeah, totally. And then they take all the jewelry that he put back into his coffin out and steal it and put him in a paper box and put him in the incinerator. And then, I mean, so this was kind of like the best thing the whole movie did. Because I know it was trying to like do some weird like Bible allegory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the end was the only time it actually worked, because King David gets put in a paper box and shoved into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael is driving towards the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So dad goes to hell and son goes to heaven.
Yeah.
And that was like the best thing about the whole movie.
The end.
Yeah. that it was over and that the end actually hit what it was trying to
hit.
But like the rest of the movie didn't.
It wasn't great. I didn't absolutely hate it.
No.
It pissed me off just because, like, DMX is such, like, a, like, unlikable character.
Yeah. This is a terrible... I mean, like...
Yeah. But...
I think he's supposed to be.
He's supposed to be, yeah. And it worked because it pissed me off.
But I thought it was... I thought the beginning was interesting. So, we have... Like everything before we find out he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like we have, like, he gets stabbed, like, his son, who at the time you don't know is his son, but you could maybe put together, like, 2 minutes later that it's his son.
Yeah, I kind of put that
together. When he's like, you don't remember me. I was like, oh shit, like, what do you do to this kid? And then he's like, later in the car, he's like, I have a son. How fucked up is that? Like, what?
I have a son.
It was so shoehorned in. Yeah. Like, it was just like, you need this information. So it sort of says we foreshadowed stuff. Like, and he didn't really need to. Like, he could have we could have just left it with the.
Yes.
You don't remember me.
Up to that point where he dies and he, like, gives David Arquette all the stuff.
Right.
Up to that point, I'm like, ooh, this movie could get better. Because, like, it wasn't amazing. It was, like, some poor acting up to there. Some, like, weird shots. And, like, there was some stuff I didn't like. But it was, like...
Some more Dutch angles for no reason.
More Dutch angles for no reason.
Always Dutch angles.
But it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, where's it going to go?
Yeah.
And then I didn't give a fuck about where it went.
Yeah. And I think that first little bit is the most interesting of the movie. And then I like the little in the very end piece. I thought that was good. And I like that you kind of are like, oh shit, DMX, like, fuck. And then he dies and you're like, what? Cause I was like, there's no way he's dead already.
Yeah. Is this another movie that he's in for 5 minutes
and
then he fucking dies or he's just not in it anymore?
Yeah. And then when David Arquette finds the tapes, I was like, oh shit, I might not hate this flashback stuff. Cause I was like, I'm pretty sure he's going to be in, like, flashbacks or something at this point. And then that's kind of what it is. And I didn't hate it. There was too much usage of it.
Yeah.
Especially to tell the same story three times.
Like,
he does the same thing three times. Like, he does it to the kid's mom.
Yep.
And then he does it to the two girls in LA.
Yep.
And it's too many times. Like, we should.
Rule of three, Russell.
Well,
comedy rule of three.
It's not funny.
Yeah. And it's like telling the fucking, what's the long joke? The aristocrats. It's like telling the aristocrats three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not necessary.
Like, and nothing changes, like, from the three. Like, it's literally the same.
He doesn't grow.
Times.
He doesn't learn.
What I thought would have been interesting is if, like, each story, each of the three times was, like, a little bit of progression on his character coming back to not being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But then they didn't do that. And I feel like that could have been a redeem. I mean, it's going to be hard to bring that character back from that, like, even doing it the first time. Mm. But, like, it could have at least an attempt at some redemption arc for this character.
Yeah.
Right.
But there was nothing.
No, he's not redeemable at all. In my eyes.
He doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Because, like, he wasn't coming... Because at the beginning of the movie, it makes you think that he's coming back to, like, make amends. Yeah. But he's really, like, coming back to continue to be a piece of shit, just, like, in his hometown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's coming back to fix what he did so he can take that dope out there.
Yeah.
Because he, like, has all those meetings, and he's like, nah, this dope is trash.
No, he had the Vietnamese dope that was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then on the way back, he, like, says the thing about...
Oh, he just like, has a hard time because he is, like, rolling through places that he doesn't know, having to start over again because he's running from killing the college girl.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I misunderstood why he was going back, because I thought he was going back to make amends to get Moon's dope to take it back out there.
I think he was, like, gonna try and, like, take over.
Yeah.
And be the king.
And be the king there.
Yeah.
But he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And he was...
Couldn't even do that right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, so I guess, like, I like a lot of the elements of the movie, and I like the attempted way they told the story.
Yeah. I like the idea of the guy coming back to town owes somebody money, he's going to pay it, and he's going to make everything that he did there better. You know, he wronged a bunch of people, and he's going to fix it all. And it doesn't go right. He ends up dying, and he passes off something to someone else, and then they have to figure out what happened. Like, yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, and he's a writer.
The stuff that he's figuring out happened was really meh. Yeah. Like, I wasn't into it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Like, I think there should have been some change to each story involving the progression of his character coming back to... Or just been, like,
a completely different story.
Or, yeah, it could have just been, like, a completely different piece of shit thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he could have started off as, like, a drug dealer, but then, like, figured something out, like, changed something, or, like... Or been Scarface and somebody chased him out or whatever the fuck. But it, yeah, it didn't like, yeah, what happened was he continued to be like a piece of shit, but like not even in a impressive, like an impressive variety of piece of shit.
Yeah. There was no growth with him whatsoever. Yeah,
he didn't like, yeah, increase his station by being a piece of shit. He just, yeah, like found a girl, turned her into a strawberry. When he got tired of that one, he got another one.
Yeah.
And dealt drugs on the low. Like it was just like sad.
Yeah.
So you
kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
He's not a king at all.
No. You couldn't teach that old dog new tricks.
Thank you, Russell.
Oof.
Woof. Hey, you mean? No.
Did you guys know that X is going to give it to you?
X fucking gave it to us, and it was battery acid.
And it was battery acid.
Hey, he also gave us like long shots of his back and ass, and I was not interested in that.
Oh, there's more of him fucking.
Yeah.
We've seen DMX's ass a lot this month.
Uh-huh.
It's DMX ass month.
It is DMX ass month.
See, advertising or... anyway.
We're going to talk about it.
Are we finally going to talk about it?
I mean, this is the last episode for DMX month.
I don't know. I looked into it and there's a lot of rumor and conjecture, but there's nothing concrete. I mean, he does like protest too much, yeah, about,
yeah,
gays and stuff, yeah, in some of his songs. And then there was like, I guess there was a tirade at some show in like 2006. Where he like went off about sucking dick, and it made it sound like he was talking about him sucking dick, and people weren't sure, but it was like at a show, so like there isn't like good video or anything of it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it's 2006, so yeah, everyone was shooting with a potato.
Yeah, so like there, but there was a lot of people talking about it, like other artists and like people online and stuff.
I feel like I remember this happening.
Yeah. He blew up about sucking dick but then was talking about, you know, just like a lot of homophobic slurs and stuff.
Very homophobic.
I mean, at that show though, but like there was a lot of, he was just like, you know, gays and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
the song In the Club is,
oh yeah, no,
horrifically,
that
homophobic
one is really bad.
Yeah.
When he died, I was like, I'm going to listen to some DMX. And I was just like listening, and it got to that song. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What? I don't remember this. Probably because nobody listened to that song when I was around. Like, they were just like, everybody that I knew that listened to DMX listened to the same three songs.
Yeah, and not, you know, Where the Hood At.
No, it was not Where the Hood At.
It's always X going to give it to you.
Although that song was in, like, movies. It was just the chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just always like, where the hood at. That was it.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up, Russell?
So I was looking up to see if him and Sean P. Diddy Combs were friends.
Uh-huh.
And apparently P. Diddy didn't want anything to do with DMX. So one of DMX's popular moments was he got into a battle with Jay-Z in a club, and like a bunch of people seen it. Mm-hmm. Some people know this. I imagine not everyone, but and so that became a thing and everyone seen it, and then some people were like, oh, we want DMX, we want DMX, we want DMX. But apparently P. Diddy didn't want anything to do with him then. P. Diddy didn't want anything to do with him until he started featuring on everyone's albums. And then P. Diddy was trying to sign him to Bad Boy, but DMX wouldn't sign to Bad Boy.
Yep.
And didn't want anything to do with P. Diddy. And later in DMX's career would go on and say lots of things that have been recently said about P. Diddy and why he didn't want anything to do with P. Diddy is what I'm discovering on Google right now.
Huh. Holy shit.
And then there were all of the, there was that big outpour about DMX being fucking crazy, which I mean, I'm sure he wasn't, like, I know he did have some like mental health issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some of which I don't think he really ever got help for.
Didn't seem like it.
No. Huh.
But X is going to give it to you.
But yeah, so apparently there's some stuff there. I haven't looked it up. I haven't written anything about it. I'm just looking it up right now. But there's a bunch of stuff there. If you're interested, you can Google.
Yeah, guys.
Do like a full expose on DMX.
Hmm. I'm not saying for sure one way or another if he was gay or not, but he does, like, there's a lot of homophobic stuff, but then also like a lot of like sort of homoerotic stuff in his music and in these movies, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah
And to just like I think part of the culture too, like being so anti homophobic, like, well, being so homophobic, like when he was coming up in the 90s and stuff like that, even if he wasn't necessarily, like, it still could have played a part into how he was writing and what he was writing into it, because I mean, he's like, ultimately he's like, he was like a rap artist, but he was also like a pop icon, right? Yeah. So he's pandering either way.
Yeah, I mean, that could totally be pandering, because like there was a lot of that kind of shit going around.
A lot.
Just like, it wasn't, I don't think it was as like blatant as that song, or as consistent, because like there's like a whole verse in that song about it, where like usually it's like you know, this guy is gay and I'm better than him because of that or whatever, and then like they move on in like a lot of rap from that time.
Yeah.
You know? But there was like a whole verse about like, in that song.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, rap in general, it's gotten better in recent years, sort of, but it's also still very misogynistic, like, especially from like 90s into 2000s.
90s, 2000s, sure. Especially.
Do we want to go to the corner?
We can, if you guys want to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's going to be a lot, because I looked at quotes and there is like three.
Yeah.
Well, strap in, because there's eight.
All right, here we go.
Stay strapped.
Let's go sell drugs on the corner.
Dave's Druggy Corner.
That's right. This is Dave's Druggy Corner. Or the point of this corner is for you to say,
ooh, drugs.
I mean, that's not either condoning or
don't do drugs, kids.
Ooh, drugs.
It's just telling you that drugs are a thing. Dare. Ooh, drugs. All right. You guys ready for some hot, hot trivia?
Drugs are bad. Okay.
They are bad. Okay.
Let's go.
In this film, DMX plays Michael Ealy's father. Mm. In real life, DMX is only 3 years older than him.
Yeah.
So. That tracks.
Henry Gibson, who has a brief silent cameo near the end of the film as the funeral home director who steals King David's watch and ring, is the father of screenwriter James Gibson.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
It's kind of random that he was in that part. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah. The shooting of the sex scene between Jennifer Sky and DMX took a long time. Both lost control during the shooting, so the scene intensified.
What?
I don't know what that means.
It sounds like maybe somebody's merkin slipped.
I always keep going.
See, I was watching that and I was like, I really hope he's not fucking like that. And then now I'm concerned.
Right?
That's real weird.
In the same year, Michael Ealy co-starred in November with David Arquette's ex-wife, Courtney Cox.
Mm.
Hmm.
King drives a 70s Stutz Blackhawk 3 coupe.
Fucking gorgeous.
The car was originally built from 1929 to 1931 and then revived during 1971 to 1987.
It's a fucking sexy car.
It is a really sexy car. I'm not a big car guy, but that is a,
I drive the fuck out of that car.
Yeah.
One might say that car is pimping.
I have things white guys say for 200, Alex.
Cultured. That's also something white guys say. Yeah.
For 300, please, Alex.
It goes up by 200.
true. Yeah. Although uncredited, Paige Hurd plays young Isla. Her and DMX previously co-starred in Cradle to the Grave the year before, where she played his daughter.
Oh.
DMX would ultimately become her godfather.
Oh.
Okay.
That's sweet.
That's sweet.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Bro.
King David's tapes that Paul finds in the box are labeled A Player's Story and introduced on audio as The Autobiography of a King.
Oof.
Yeah. And the last one we have.
Oof.
Woof, Shane.
Woof.
No.
Woof.
No.
In this movie, young Isla is played by actress Paige Hurd, uncredited.
Yeah, we already had that. That's double dipping. There was so much great trivia about this movie that they double dipped in a grand total of 8.
Yep.
Wowzers.
That's all I have for Dave's Trivia Corner.
Dave's Trivia Corner!
Of drugs.
You drugs.
All right, let's rate this.
I'd rate it.
I'm going to give it a 5. I don't think the acting was really great. Like, I mean, I like David Arquette, but he didn't really have a chance to really do anything in this movie.
Not really.
He just was like walking around listening to tapes, and then he had like one scene where he's talking to his girlfriend. And like some of the other actors were kind of eh, and like DMX was pretty meh. And yeah, I mean, we talked about how the story was kind of shit, and the way it was shot and the way it was told wasn't fantastic. The start of the movie is kind of neat. The idea of how it's going to start, but then it kind of just takes a shit. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 5. Russell?
5.5. Lots of notes. Dave?
Okay. 6. No notes.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thanks for listening, I guess. We're sorry we made you watch these terrible movies with us. I hope it made us all stronger and made us bond as a group of film enjoyers, or I guess, I don't know.
Film enjoyers.
Yep.
I
leave me alone.
Definitely think that it's been a rough month. Not to cut you off, but yeah. I did want to interject. It's definitely been a rough month. I think we're going to need a little bit of healing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that goes a long way. Cause this has been one hell of a storm to weather. And I just,
I'm out.
I'm out of puns.
That's all you got?
I had two
X-Men puns. That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing X-Men next month.
We're doing X-Men for 13 weeks.
Oh, okay. So we're going to start with X-Men 1 from 2000?
2001, I believe.
2001?
Both sound right.
Yeah, so in July, we have a very special movie coming out.
Oh, man.
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool and Wolverine.
Deadpool and Wolverine
3. Yeah.
My bad.
No.
Dead
no,
three
it's just
pool.
Deadpool.
Dead 3 pool.
D3ADP00L and Wolverine
2.
Nope.
It's like like Wolverine 17. No, like 14, my bad. Yeah, so in the lead up to Deadpool and Wolverine, we will be doing all of the X-Men movies and adjacent.
Okay.
X and adjacent.
So what? Like, so X-Men, X-Men 2, X-Men United?
Yeah, X-Men Last Stand.
No, that's 3.
That's 3.
X-Men Last Stand is 3.
Oh, X2 is United?
Yeah, X2 Mutants United? I don't remember what the name is. Last Stand, and then First Class.
Second Class.
No.
Third Class.
Stop.
School's
stop.
Out.
Stop. Stop. Stop.
For summer.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes.
Ugh.
The Wolverine.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one too, Diesel.
That's DMX. He's locked in our basement.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Dre.
So X-Men First Class. X-Men Days of Future Past. Is that the second one?
Yeah. At first, I thought you were trying to do this in order.
I sort of was, and then I did all the Wolverine ones.
Okay. Yeah, Days of Future Past.
Wolverine, the X-Men Origins Wolverine is before First Class, though.
X-Men Origins is before First Class, because they were going to do a bunch of Origins, and then
they didn't, because that movie didn't do well, but then they made a sequel anyway.
Then they did a soft reboot.
Yeah, they did a soft reboot with First Class, and then Days of Future Past, and then I think the Wolverine was after Days of Future Past, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't chronologically in the story come after that, but... And then they did Age of Apocalypse.
Yep.
And then they did Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in there somewhere is Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2.
Oh, Deadpool 1 and Deadpool 2,
and there's one more.
What's the other one?
New Mutants.
Oh, New Mutants. New Mutants. That, like, doesn't connect at all.
I never watched that one.
But.
It.
There's, like, a.
Sorta does.
Sorta. There's, like, a scene of, like, a flashback where you see.
Yeah.
Xavier's chair. Or something like that.
There's something like that, and then there's like two sentences that place it. They tried to place it in the canon, but their canon is fucked.
Yeah, and also that movie is like I don't think it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me, or I don't remember it making sense. But we'll get to it when we get to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we're doing. We're doing all the Fox X-Men movies and mutant movies. So we're gonna do all those before Deadpool Wolverine. So you got that to look forward to.
Yay.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Find us on all your social media, searching Drafted Quarters Productions. Find us on Patreon. Subscribe for $1. We're doing all the MCU stuff. So that's, you know, we're going to start doing the stuff that we stopped after. So there's going to be some like TV stuff and some of the newer movies that me and Russell are going to do. But everything up through the Infinity Gauntlet saga is going up on Patreon now. So go check that out. Email us draftyq@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, or concerns. And our Amazon wish list is in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
We reap what we sow. And that's what the Bible says. Payback's a motherfucker. I think James Brown said that. Same shit. We all know the story. Or at least we pretend that we do.